Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I am going to start a series for a couple few months here. It's a little bit different. I'll be honest with you, it's not the one I intended to start. But about Monday afternoon or so, the Lord had changed direction for me. You say, why? I don't question it. I just obey and go forward. Amen. I've learned a long time ago, don't question God, just do it. But I've had this one sitting here for a while, and I think this is the time for it. Boys and girls, I want you to listen to your preacher. I don't want you doodling or piddling around. I want you to listen, because for too long, the devil has done some things to deceive people into thinking things that aren't true. And I'm going to target your everybody, but I especially want the children to pay attention, because what I have to say could save your life. I mean that. And I'm dead serious when I get into this. You'll find out I'm very passionate about it. You say, well, preacher, you're a little too far to the right. When you find out what I'm going to teach on, you'll find out why I'm a little too far to the right. And I'd rather get to heaven and God say you went a little too far than you didn't go far enough. This is one of those that I feel like we've not gone near far enough on. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Everybody look at me. The Bible is God's words. They are not man's words, they are God's words. This isn't Paul speaking here, this is God speaking here. And God says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. What devices does the devil use? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. What I'm going to do is this. The devil uses over 50 different names for the devil. There are over 50 different names or titles used for the devil. And I'm going to show you, and by the way, each one chosen by God for a specific purpose. No. But God tells us that the devil is our biggest enemy. God also tells us here in 2 Corinthians that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Now everybody look at me for a minute. Ignorance is not the lack of knowledge. Ignorance does not mean simple. Ignorance doesn't mean, well, I just never learned that. No, ignorance has the root word ignore. Ignorance is, I know the truth, but I'm going to choose to ignore it so I can have what I want. We have a lot of Baptists, we have a lot of Christians who are ignorant. They're ignoring the truth because they want what they want. You get mad when I preach on your video games. Can I tell you why? You're ignorant and foolish. You get mad when I say certain things like that. Guess what? That's ignorance. That's not simplicity. And I'll show you a lot of things that should wake some of you up. When we get done with this, if something in your life hasn't changed, then you're ignorant. You're ignoring the truth. I hope as we teach through this, you go home and clean up some things at home. Because you've allowed the devil's influences in. Most of you, you wouldn't let death rock and rock music and different things in your home. But you'll let stuff that's just as satanically inspired and used as that is, and maybe more dangerous. Everybody doing okay? In other words, for the next 10, 12 weeks, I'm going to have fun and you're going to be miserable. The devil is not a little guy in a red suit with a pointed tail and a pitchfork. The devil, listen to this statement, is one of the six most powerful beings in the entire universe. The only three beings more powerful are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can show you where Michael and Gabriel were held up battling the devil, and he was more powerful than both of them. We're not talking about some cartoon character. We're talking about the very one who got man to sin and disobey God and has sent people to hell. I didn't think about it till just now. What an appropriate day to start a Bible study on the devil. April Fool's Day, amen? Just now hit me, amen? But the devil is only second in power to the Trinity of God. Now, I do not want you to face battles, but I know you will. I'm going to make a statement here that may shock some of you. I don't think most or if anybody in here will. You'll never face the devil one-on-one. We're not high enough on his radar screen. The devil is not like God in the sense that he's omnipresent. He's like us. He can only be at one place at one time. But his influence has permeated the earth. Now, let me start by this. I'm one person, but I hold many different titles, just like you do. For instance, I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a dad. I'm a pawpaw. I like that title. Amen. I'm a brother. I'm a cousin. I'm a nephew. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I've authored a book or two. I'm a counselor. I'm a soul winner. A public speaker. CEO, so to speak. I'm an uncle, an educator, and a friend. And I could list other titles. Now, I have all of those titles. And in each situation, I adapt to be what I need to be based on the situation that I am. Sometimes I'm a boss. I don't like being a boss, but sometimes that's what my job holds. Though I'm only one person, I hold many different titles and many different types of position because of that. And there's a separate set of responsibilities and attitudes that go with it. If I get up to preach a sermon on hell and gonna bring the house down and preach like a house of fire on Sunday morning, but I go home and my grandson and my granddaughter are there and they say, "Pawpaw," I'm not going to be preaching a sermon at them. That's time to be playing ball and doing whatever. You say, why? Because it does not dictate hellfire damnation preaching when it's time to be pawpaw. That's mom and dad's job, not mine. Say, what's my job? Spoil them rotten and give them back to them. I'm different as pawpaw than I am pastor. I was just walking down the hall before I came out here tonight. My daughter was walking with our granddaughter to the nursery. And I stopped for about 5 seconds and was pawpaw. It didn't change what I was being as pastor. It's just I added that to it. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. The same is true with the devil. He has that ability to be many different positions and have many different roles all at the same time. You hold many, I do, etc., etc. Now, here's where we get into it. God has a plan for your life. We just spent 10 weeks talking about the will of God. And God has a will for each and every person. Watch this. But the devil has a will for each and every person. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 24. Revelation chapter 2, verse 24. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of who?
Satan.
Is that the devil?
Yes.
Huh. As they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He said, thou hast not known the depths of Satan. The word depths there means deep laid plan. It actually has the connotation of a will. Now watch this. The devil has a plan for your life. The devil's plan is very simple. His plan is to keep you from doing God's will. He does not care whose will you do, as long as it's not God's. Oh, do your will? Yep. You just fell right into the devil's plan. It's not a matter of what I will, not as I will, but as thou wilt. See, the devil wants us to do whatever we want, just as long as we don't do what God wants. The plan of Satan, the deep will of Satan, is to keep you from doing what God wants, because Satan wants to destroy God. Now, the devil wants to hurt God. I'm going to make a statement here that might surprise you. The devil's not out to hurt you. He doesn't care if you get hurt or if you're fine. The devil doesn't care if you make $10 billion in life or you die poor as Job's turkey. Say, what's that mean, preacher? The devil doesn't care whether you get hurt or not. He's just trying to hurt God. And if you can't hurt God, what do? You go after his children. It's pretty low when somebody's got to go after somebody's children. United States media going after Trump's children. His biggest plan is to be more powerful than God. The devil is a power-crazed being. This is a statement I want you to hear. You're going to hear it over and over and over and over again. But listen to it very carefully here. The very moment you step outside of God's will, you've stepped into Satan's will. It's not that you're going to take a process, but the very moment you step away from the will of God, you stepped into the will of Satan. There is no demilitarized zone around it. There's no safety net or safety zone around it. You're either in God's will or you're in Satan's will. And there is no in between. How do you know that, preacher? Because I've lived it over and over and over and over again. You take the phone call I got 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Family that used to sit in this auditorium left the area because of work. Wonderful Christian family. Soul winners. Excited. Good kids. There was a little trouble in the church where they went, and Dad got a little off and went out one night and got drunk. Brought liquor home. He and Mom started drinking. Their divorce was final in December. And their lives are wrecked and ruined. He called me and he said, "Preacher, I've gotten myself right." He said, "But my family's destroyed and I did it." He said, "The moment we stepped away from the will of God, the devil stepped in." I said, "Yes, he did." Honestly, it's a mess. So, we need to know our enemy. God says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So, my job as your pastor is to teach you what the devil's devices, what he is, and how he's trying to destroy you so that you don't have to be sideswiped by him. The devil destroys us by studying us. Some of us talk too much because we tell the devil where we're weak. You know, if you keep your mouth shut, he doesn't know. He's got to watch. Someone may say, "Well, preacher, are you afraid of scaring the kids?" I'm afraid of not scaring them. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm afraid of not scaring the children. I am so glad when I was 4 years old, a man had enough guts to get up and preach on hell. At the age of 4 and a half, I realized I was a sinner on my way there and I didn't want to die and go to hell. You can say he scared it out of me. But guess what? I've been saved for 54 years because of it. "Well, I don't think it ought to be done that way." Well, I wonder how many boys and girls go to church in religious institutions and die and go to hell because they never had somebody tell the truth to a child. The devil is... The greatest quality of the devil is he's patient. You want to know what the best quality of the devil is? He's patient. He'll outlast generation after generation after generation. He'll just keep plodding away. Keep poking it in there. If you would have asked somebody in the early 1970s, if sodomy would be rampant in the 2000s, every American citizen would have said no. Every one of them. Then a Hollywood show, Three's Company, came out. And a man that wasn't even a sodomite played one. For the first time in history on public television. Now look at it. The filth, the vileness. That took over 50 years to get in place. The devil's pretty patient. He doesn't care how long it takes to destroy you. I can't think of a better illustration than this. Look how long it took for him to destroy Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines and married many strange women of many strange gods. And it said in his latter years that he began to serve some of the gods of the wives that he chose. And Solomon went from being the wisest man to being a fool. Any man that's got 700 mother-in-laws is a fool. I don't care who they are. But Solomon was a very old man by the time he changed. Well, you're looking at a guy that's not old yet. I'm approaching it. I said I'm on the approach here. But I'll promise you one thing. I've come too far to turn back. I ain't changing. I am just not going to change. So we're going to begin tonight looking at the different names and titles of the devil. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. I want you to look at verse number 12. Actually, I'm going to go back a little further. Look at verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noises of thy vials is worn. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O who? That's a name for the devil, Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Everybody look at me for a second. Lucifer was the earliest known name and title for the devil. Lucifer was the name given to him as an archangel in heaven. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but there were three archangels. They were in charge of all of the angels in heaven. You had Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. We make the assumption that it's divided by thirds. I'm not against people saying that, and I'm sure I've said it a couple hundred times. That's just an assumption. It doesn't say how much leadership was theirs or not. But I do know this. I do know that Lucifer was one of the three archangels. He wasn't just an angel. He was the highest powered one. Now pay attention. He was the highest powered of the angels in heaven. There were only two that were his equal, which are Gabriel and Michael. He was created by God for a purpose. Now, opinion, my opinion. You don't have to agree. I believe each of those archangels were like an assistant pastor to a certain part of the Godhead. Gabriel is known as the messenger. I believe he was in tune with the Holy Spirit and kind of like an assistant to the Holy Spirit. Gabriel is the one that brings judgment. I believe that one was God the Father. That leaves one left. Jesus with Lucifer. Who does Lucifer come back as in the book of Revelation? Who knows Jesus better than anybody? Now, you don't have to agree with me on that statement. It's my opinion. But my opinion has got an awful lot of scripture to back it. He was a created being by God with the most power in heaven outside the Godhead. Lucifer was his heavenly name. It's only used one time in the Bible. And you just read it in Isaiah 14. Because God did not want to honor him by using his heavenly name any more than he had to. Once he sinned, he was thrown out of heaven into a place called hell. Notice it says in verse 12, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Everybody look at me for a second. Jesus is known as the what? Morning star. Huh. The word Lucifer means son of brightness. There'll be no need of the sun in heaven, for Jesus will be the light of heaven. Huh. Lucifer was the equivalent of a sun to Jesus in many ways. Lucifer was the earliest and the only name that he went by in heaven. But Lucifer got too big for his britches. Lucifer, through disloyalty and pride, said in verse 13, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And that's a dangerous thing. You want to know where humanism began? Right there. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, you don't have to listen to God. You could be your own gods. You could decide good and evil for yourself. You don't need to listen to God. Look at me. Yep. So, Lucifer was his name in heaven. Number two, Lucifer got full of pride and disloyalty. We read it there. Turn to Ezekiel 28. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. It's about 150, 200 pages to the right. Ezekiel 28, look at verse number 15. I'm going to show you some things about the devil you didn't know. Verse 15, Ezekiel 28, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. In other words, he was sinless until the first day he sinned. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Ooh, everybody look, underline that word. Violence is always surrounded with the devil. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy what? Oh, the devil's not some ugly, nasty creature. Because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He's intelligent. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. The devil is a very beautiful creature. Matter of fact, he was in charge from all I can tell, of all the music in heaven. His body played music. Isn't it amazing how much influence music has for the devil? And the devil allowed his power to destroy him. Folks, listen to me very carefully here. I want everybody to look at me. Success destroys more people than poverty. Amen. Positions destroy people more than lack of position. Amen. We see power and we become satanic with it. You remember Jesus talking to his disciples? And Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. We're not going to lead like the world leads. We're not going to be bossing people around, being nasty and slave drivers. And yeah, you do that, you do that, you do that. And I'm going to sit here and I'm a great leader because I can tell you what to do. You think your hot snot on a silver platter ain't nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate headed to hell. He allowed his power to destroy him. And I'm going to warn some of you, as you grow in the Lord, God brings success. Don't allow that success to destroy you. I've watched people grow in the Lord. They start teaching Sunday school and start soul winning and they start doing different things. May even get on a deacon board or something like that, and then they want more power. Can I tell you something? Well, I'm going to leave the church because I didn't get the position I wanted. Well, that proves they made the right decision. Because all you're doing is position seeking. You're not God seeking. Everybody doing okay? I'm looking for people, and God's looking for people that serve, not want to be served. The devil is not some nasty, vile Hollywood creature that looks like it, just the nastiness. No, the devil's beautiful. He said he allowed its beauty to destroy him. Number three, Lucifer was wise and unable to be tricked. Look at Ezekiel 28. Go a little farther. Go back to verse number 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. Thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Just want you to know, the Bible's talking here about the devil. Go back to verse 2, I can show you. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Sound familiar? The Bible says that the devil's able to hobnob with the big boys. He can traffic in money. He's got a lot of it. Yeah. That's why he's good at tricking a lot of people, because people think money's success. There's a lot more to life than money. There's a lot more to life than position. There's a lot more to life than power. He was close enough to God to learn from the greatest. I'm probably going to get somebody mad at me, not here in our church, but out in radio land somewhere. And I don't give a flip. There's a lot of people that said they knew Dr. Jack Hiles. There's a lot of them even that worked for him, but they're the ones that changed. They didn't know him like I knew him. I'm not saying I was the closest person to him, but I studied him. I studied his successes and his failures. I can tell you where he was strong and where he was weak. Everybody doing okay? How do you know he was weak? Because I watched how things went south real quick after his death. And said, need to be some prevention there. And that started all the way back here. And I took good notes. Was he perfect? No, he died 25 years ago. Nobody ever said Dr. Jack Hiles was perfect. But I don't know a man that was used of God any more than he was. He was an archangel that led as much as a third of heaven. He worked side by side with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You don't rise to that level and not learn some things that nobody else knows. Number four. Lucifer was very wealthy, very beautiful. We read it in verses 4 through 6, verse 12 and 13 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in where? Eden. Ooh. Well, the devil was in Eden. The garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper and the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle and gold and the workmanship of the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. It doesn't sound like the little guy in the red suit. It smells like sulfur. No, he's a pretty sharp critter. He was able to sit at the table with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and talk business. His beauty and his wealth caused his disloyalty and his pride. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not, the love of it is. May I say something? Let's not get so caught up in beauty. It flees very quickly. Amen. Brother Scott, you didn't have to worry about it at all anyway. See, yeah. Beauty should never cause pride. Ladies, be careful. Don't let... when you're... You know, it's kind of ridiculous for somebody in their 70s to try to act like they're 15 again. You know, if the old barn needs a little paint, that's all right. But, you know, don't color the hair four different colors and put high heels on and a mini skirt and walk out, all right? It just doesn't have the same effect it did 70 years before then. Amen. Y'all know what I'm trying to say here? All right. Help us. You know, what makes a lady beautiful is her spirit, her attitude. I've seen a lot of pretty faces in divorce court. There's a lot of beautiful ladies that have been married 5 and 6 and 7 times. So obviously it's not the beauty. That means this. Let's not put such a big emphasis on it. Ladies, I think we ought to dress right. I think we ought to dress, you ought to dress like ladies, not we, you. But let's not try to, I don't want to say it this way, but it's the only way it's coming through my head right now. If it ain't for sale, don't put a for sale sign on it. If you already caught him, don't worry about it, what everybody else thinks. Dress to please God, everybody will be fine. Everybody doing okay? I don't know how else to say that. All right? There's five statements Satan made, or Lucifer makes in Isaiah 14. I want to run through them very quickly with you. Go back to Isaiah 14. This term Lucifer. This is the only time it's used. So it's quite important, scripturally speaking. The first thing he says is, I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend into heaven. Everybody look at me. All religion is based on, I will do what I want to do to get there. Religion says, man tells God what God has to accept in man. Catholics say you got to be baptized into the church and go through catechism and pray through Mary, and you got to have your little, what are those beads called? Rosary, that's it. And then you got to buy candles and light candles, and hopefully you can get your loved ones out of, yeah, that place, school. We have to do all these different things, and just maybe we'll get to heaven. Or you've got to live good works, and you have to have your good outweigh the bad. That is man telling God how God has to accept man. That is all religion. I don't care if it's Hindu, I don't care if it's Buddhist, I don't care if it's Shinto, I don't care if it's Hutu, I don't care if it's, there is African tribes, the Hutus, and the Tutsis, they are out there, study it. But it doesn't matter if it's Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Southern Baptist, whatever it is, if it's anything outside of for you're saved by grace through faith, it's not of works. Guess what? It's of works. It's man telling God how God must accept man. Satan's the author of that. I will ascend into heaven. I'm going to do it my way. Then he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Everybody look at me. The stars of God. What's that in reference to? Turn to Revelation chapter 1. I'm about to shout. I love how the Bible works together. I love how God put the Bible together and proves that man didn't do it. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 16. This is Jesus. Someone's describing Jesus here, God is. And he had in his right hand seven what?
Stars.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Who's that? Jesus. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. Skip down to verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Lucifer said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars, the angels of the churches themselves. We would call it baseball, football, basketball, hockey, sports, fishing boats, hunting, anything to take us out of church. devil is a master of it. This is funny but sad. Had a brother Driller texted me the day, and he was laughing. He said, "I got a new convert preacher." He said, got saved, got baptized the next week, took him ice fishing the following week, and he said, "Tonight we're having Lord's Supper." And he texted me this morning and said, "Preacher, what should I bring for the dinner tonight?" He said, "I had to explain what the Lord's Supper was to him and told him, make sure you eat before you come. You will be disappointed." Now, we laugh at that, but isn't it sad that somebody that grew up in America doesn't even know what it is? It shows you how unchurched we are. Then he said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation." Folks, the devil knows how to gather a crowd. Go to the beaches during spring break, he knows how to gather a crowd. Go to the professional athletics around the world, and he knows how to draw crowds. Don't get mad at me. I'm not against watching sports and stuff, but your kids as heroes ought not be those that don't go to church. Amen. I don't care if they get up and say, "Well, God gave me the ability to do it." Or, "Well, how come you weren't in church this morning?" "Well, I had to be here to make money." Oh, okay. I, number four, will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He was addicted to his power. He said, "I'll go above anybody and I'll go higher than anybody's ever seen." Number five, and I'll quit. This is a dangerous one. I will be like the Most High. In other words, I'll be my own God. He wanted the praise. He wanted the respect. He wanted the things that God deserved. He wanted everybody that worked around him to treat him like God. May I say something to you? I love this church, but don't ever treat me like God. I'm not God. I'm as far from it as you are. Amen. Shut up. Maybe not as far as Scott. I'm going to get in trouble again, but that's why the Pope bothers me. Amen. I will speak ex cathedra. I will be like God to you. You can put $500,000 grapefruit on his head and call him whatever you want. He's not the vicar of heaven, he's the vicar of hell. Amen. Governments and socialisms are trying to rid our nation of God. We don't realize how powerful some of the things that are going on in our government right now are. Life and death. Lucifer had an eye problem. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Brother Kevin, Brother Paul, I never want you to hear me say, "Well, I'm doing this." You'll hear it day after day after day. Let's see what God can do with us. Let's go see what we can do for God. But don't look at me. One of these days, this old carcass is going to fall over dead. You stick my body in a box down here, preach my funeral, and throw dirt in my face, and somebody else will take my spot. That's the way it's supposed to be. Scott will die before me. Now, wait a second. But realize, I'll be playing tag with the angels and I'm fine. But I'm not God. You're not going to have to meet in secret and blow smoke out of my office roof to find out who the next pastor's going to be. Just for fun, right? Don't you dare. I was going to say, don't you dare talk about pink smoke. I knew it was coming. I knew that was coming. Folks, the devil has over 50 names, and the first of which, the one that was original, was Lucifer. Only given once. So, why do you think God did that, preacher? Because God didn't want to honor Lucifer any more than he had to. Gave us just enough information so that we knew how to not be ignorant of his devices. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let's not be ignorant. We can be unknowing, yes. Might not know all these things, I'm sure. But let's not be ignorant and purposely ignore the truth.